Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hi, busy mamas. It's Mia here. And today I have a really fun guest with us, Kathy Stoll. And let me just tell you a little bit about her. Kathy began blogging 10 years ago as a creative outlet and to share her handwork and homesteading adventures with her online community. And now she offers what she calls Mama Bliss Life and business coaching to support moms around the world who crave more self-care, creativity, and simplicity in their days so they can rediscover their passions and how they might fit together for a bliss and profit-filled work-from-home venture. And we were just talking before this, she also actually trains people to be coaches, which is so cool. So she's a busy lady. And so hi, welcome, Kathy.
Thank you, Mia. So nice to be here.
Yeah. So, and tell us a little bit, you're a mom. So tell us a little bit who you have.
Who do I have here?
I didn't include that in the bio part. So tell us.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'm a mama to two munchkins, though they're not as munchkin-y as they used to be. They are now 11 and 7.
Okay.
My eldest is a uber creative, little sensitive girl. They're both awesome. And my son is 7 and cute as a button. And it's two guys. And I have a little fur baby too. My little wiener dog, Angel. And I called him my wiener dog because we got him right after I weaned my son.
He
was 3.
It's not like, because he's one of those little dogs?
No, he is that too.
Oh, okay.
Just got a coincidence. And so he's like perfect baby shape, but this time forever.
Got it. And you're in Western Canada, so
yes.
Yes, very good. So we'll get to hear that accent, which I love.
Funny, I feel like I have one, but okay.
So tell us, so let's jump right in and let's start. So self-care, I feel like, is the big thing that pops out in a lot of your different areas of work. So let's start there and let's just dive into a conversation about that and what that even means to anyone who's like, what does that mean?
Absolutely. Well, like you were mentioning, I train moms to offer coaching as an approach that I created called Mama Bliss, which is centered around what I call the four pillars of Mama Bliss. And the first one that we always assess with a new client is self-care. The other three are creativity, values, and simplicity. So we start off with self-care because, as you can imagine, if that's wonky, everything else is just going to collapse on top of our attempts at finding a calm center, a place to really tap into our own inner wisdom. And so, so what we do is an assessment, meaning I have an acronym that can trigger just the really vague, loose foundations of what one would think classically of self-care approaches. And it's an acronym that is SHOES. So we check out the state of our client's shoes. So the first S in SHOES stands for sleep, which is probably the ultimate fixer-upper.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited these days because, at least here in Canada, there's been, kind of like our NPR here on CBC Radio, which I listen to constantly. Arianna Huffington just came out with a book. Yeah, all about the importance of sleep and how we are a sleep-deprived nation. And so that got me really excited because I have witnessed in my own self if I don't get, and I need a lot.
Yep.
If I kind of shirk myself on that, I am like pretty much useless. I can't even talk and it's...
Yep.
I just find myself saying, I'm sorry, I didn't get enough sleep last night. So, so that's a good place to begin, seeing how much sleep we're getting and the quality of. The H in SHOES is for water intake. That, too, is a classic, ailment that's really quite common. A lot of our ills can be traced down to dehydration, brain power as well. O stands for organic living, which is essentially being aware of the toxins that we are putting in ourselves, like through food, but also layering on top of ourselves, just the toxins, just awareness, the excess amount, but also living seasonally, getting outside, getting some fresh air and sunshine, E's for exercise, and the final S is for seeing how much stillness and solitude we get throughout the day, because that too is an important aspect of self-care on a day-to-day basis.
I love those because, and it's funny because I share similar want, like things when I'm, starting people off. And I feel like those are the things that are easiest to sort of brush off when you're trying to learn how to be healthier, because you're like, oh, I already know that. But then we don't always do it, Like they're the simple things, and then it's e so easy to let a day go by without remembering to like pick up a sip of water. And I share quite frequently that that's actually the thing I work on constantly, even knowing that I'm supposed to every day.
I know.
But yeah, so it's cool to hear those and just know that like it doesn't have to be complicated. Like we can all tackle those things relatively easily.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's actually dive a little into sleep because I can hear people silently on the line saying, but like I have a newborn or I have sick children or and they're up all night. And so
Yeah.
how am I ever going to sleep? So what do you say to that?
Oh, yeah. The whole sleep thing, even beyond newborns, it can crop up as a challenge through seasons. I have been asked a lot as I go out and about my days lately, hey, how's it going? And I really wear my heart on my sleeve. And I'm like, it's going awesome. Just because we have recently experienced a winter of epic classic childhood diseases. It's
Got
just been like one ailment after another. It was almost kind of laughable. Closer to the end of the winter, it was just like there's one, one kid wasn't home sick from school, the other one was. So anyways, my husband, bless his heart, he took night duty when my daughter was quite ill this winter, and it was many, many weeks of nursing her, like her like vomiting in the night and waking up coughing, and so he took on the night duty. And he was so sleep deprived, but we kind of had agreement that I'd be on day duty and he'd be on night duty. And so it was kind of like you work together as a team. And if you are, truly sleep deprived, is just doing what you can. It's such a important, just something to really take care of and nip in the bud. So I'm really putting into, okay, we're in emergency mode. So an example there is working with your partner, like taking an opportunity to take shifts. So in that situation, I told him, like I will stay up with her and you go downstairs and get yourself like a good night undisturbed sleep. So yeah, just getting creative with solutions. When we were weaning my son, I went off and had a sleepover at my girlfriend's house. So, he couldn't smell the boob. And other ways is to really just meditate. Well, what has worked in the past? So sometimes we often forget ways that has really been helpful. For instance, oh yeah, I remember when my kids were smaller, speaking with my acupuncturist, he, I expressed, oh, so and so's, he's kind of keeping me up all night, waking up periodically, and so he gave us some a tincture called hops. So just distilled some hops. So I would give the kids a little squirt of hops before going to bed, and I would pet them, pat them on the head and say goodnight, my little Elvises, just because I felt like I was kind of drugging them up. But sometimes looking to that type of support, herbal support. So for instance, when we were discussing pre-hit record button about simplicity parenting, I can really touch upon what I've heard Kim John Payne mention about how to tend with a child who is having sleep issues. And I'm a big fan of applying whatever he suggests for our children to applying it to ourselves as mothers. So what he suggested was looking at the overall big picture of where we might be able to simplify and invite into our days to encourage a more centered baseline so that sleep can come more easily. So an example he suggested was, maybe our kids need some more physical activity during the day, or even, and this was really fun, a more creative outlet. So I encourage my clients, or even myself, when there's a bout of insomnia, trouble getting to sleep, is looking at, maybe I do need more movement myself. Perhaps there's an energy block somewhere that could be moved with some creative expression. But yeah, just really thinking of not solutions, but just thinking back on A, like what has worked in the past, like an emergency situation, or B, what's another component of my life that I can lean on to move us through this challenging period of sleep deprivation.
Yeah, I love that. And it's interesting because, well, two things. One is that I think the first thing that's overarching over all of that is that, you've made a decision that sleep is important. So you're
Yes.
really looking to make that happen, which I think is one of the things that we don't realize and gets us sort of into habits, which definitely happens in parenting. Is that, sometimes it's as simple as one night a child wakes up and then they just get into the habit of that. And
Yes.
then we don't draw the line in the sand as parents, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not even that there's an emergency going on, it's just a habit that's forming of like, Mom, I want a hug. And
Yes.
as much as we love our kids, like, it's a, it, that's like an intention that sleep is important at that moment, and you can have 100 more hugs tomorrow. But
Exactly.
and then the other thing is that, like, when you're sick, what's interesting about that is, like, sometimes I think, like, in that case of your poor winter, like, you just can't avoid it, right? Like, it just happens. And sometimes with infants, it just happens. But then that the whole talk of seasons of life, that just might be a season where, like, I think when we're saying that sleep is important, it's important for sort of optimal living. So if you're not sleeping, that might mean that during the day you have to shift things because you can't do everything, right? So if you're really not sleeping, then in the day you're not going to work the same and you're not going to parent the same, and so you sort of have to balance what that means. And that's fine. That's like life. That's parenting. But it's just really intentionally thinking about all those things. So I love that.
Thank you.
So let's jump into let's talk a little bit about simplicity because that's actually one of my favorite topics. So what are some of your favorite things that you do in your house and with your clients around simplicity?
Sure. So yes, we really lean on to that third pillar of Mama Bliss, our values, before we move into the simplicity component.
Okay.
So yeah, we usually have some time together, just really meditating, do some exercises on the values that we want to highlight and celebrate in our days. And there's different list of values for different areas of our lives, but usually it's fun to think of which are the ones that we want to pass on to our children. And so this is a really fun exercise too to do with your partner. Life is full of decisions, day to day, moment to moments, and the big ones too. And I remember we had to make a pretty heart-wrenching decision. Well, of course, a couple of times, but one of them was we were moving from our little dream farm that we helped set up. And yeah, we had this really funny, juicy conversation in the bathroom. He was in the bathtub, I remember. And it was just like, I won't say where I was sitting, but we were totally just talking about our values. And it was such a really, it was really heart touching. And so, and I think he expressed to me, like, I really value our children's education, happiness, and bringing them to the forefront of your psyche. It's almost the universe really starts to highlight and kind of, offer inspiration and what direction to move into. Because I remember when we were talking about the kids and happiness. And right after, again on CBC, they were talking about a study done on the happiest kids in the world and where they lived, and they were saying like places like Mexico and Finland or something. And they say, yeah, like community was a huge component of that. So that was really kind of like, oh yeah, that is what's pulling me, that this value of community, and that's in, tied into that niggling of happiness that I was seeking, because it did stir up happiness when I thought of it that way, even though it was heartbreaking to leave one dream. Remembering our family values really gave us both together that team building exercise of facing a decision. So once we have our values in the forefront of our hearts and minds, we are able to design more simplicity into our days, so that we're really celebrating those values and putting up boundaries on whatever's not supporting those and not in alignment. So like we're saying with Kim Jong Payne, he has four areas of simplifying, and four, I think he calls them, levels. And I borrowed from that for my Mama Bliss coaching, and I came up with my own four areas of simplifying. Do you mind if I share that acronym too?
Yeah, sure. We love
I
acronyms. It makes
love
it easier to
acronyms too.
remember.
Exactly. So this is my safe word for simplicity. It's safe. So the first S is for stuff, just like Kim Jong Payne, the environment. So I love starting off with this one, because I'm really into manifesting, because I feel once we're able to simplify so we can celebrate our values, like I was saying, the universe conspires with you to really make all your dreams and visions come true. So the first step towards manifesting, from all the reading I've done, is to create space, like physical space in your life, for what you want to welcome more of. So that it involves discarding a lot of stuff. Yeah, so that comes in all shapes and sizes. It could be clothes and toys that don't fit anymore, that aren't played with anymore, just excess stuff, gadgets and whatnot. The A is for activities. So again, Mama Bliss coaching, it's really focused in on mom. So I guide my clients towards just removing the excess stuff on your day timers, the volunteer obligations, any extra hours that you could be applying towards something that resonates more with your soul. And then, of course, it very closely ties in with kids stuff, because if your kids are signed up for everything under the sun, you're going to have to tack on a good couple hours a week just to drive them to and fro. So it really adds up quick. F and safe is for flow. And this is borrowed from the rhythm that Simplicity Parenting really leans on, and I am a huge fan of. So flow of our day, so those really predictable pulse points that we can build everything else around of, and providing us with an opportunity to just be still, to take a deep in-breath together as a family or in solitude. And finally, E is four in safe, electronic gadgets. So I was just trying to think of a acronym. So E was this the smoothest way I can invite getting unplugged. So the screen time, and even the radio, for me, that has often been a bit of a foe to my simplicity seeking heart, just because the news is so grim sometimes. When I was just coming out of that mama labyrinth after my son was born, I was observing that I was very sensitive to doom and gloom. And so I found when I could feel anxiety creeping up, the radio was the first thing that had to be turned off. So just putting up those boundaries so we can really, again, protect what we want to celebrate and values, and also just the beauty and excitement that is this world that we live in.
Yeah, I love that. And it's funny, a lot of people have listened to this podcast so far, and we were talking before we hit record, and we both send our kids to the same kind of school.
Oh, cool.
I mean, right? Didn't you say your kids go to Waldorf school?
I
So
did, but I didn't know that
I
you
didn't say, yeah, oh, I didn't say that back. So my three kids all go to Waldorf school, and
Cool.
I have a 7-year-old too, so
Oh, what?
probably we both just started first grade this year, right?
Yes, I know. Did you cry when the last day of school?
I did, well, because it's my last one. So
Me too. Mine too.
I've gone through three rose ceremonies, and
Oh,
there will not be
God.
another one.
The rose ceremony that slayed me.
I have one who will someday be in eighth grade very soon, but
Oh.
yes. So the cool thing about that is that community, well, has its challenges around those, four areas. But as far as like the greater world is concerned, is very supportive, especially in the early years. So, which is which makes it fairly easy to make those boundaries, right? So even if there's different parts that are somewhat challenging, or one family that's somewhat challenging, I still am quite aware that it's easier than, at the school down the street to put up those
That's true.
boundaries, because those kids are constantly being bombarded with facts, maybe
Yes.
even by their teachers.
Yes, that's true.
That we're able to shield our kids from a little bit media-wise, which is such a blessing, I think. But
I don't know. The Waldorf bubble.
yeah, totally.
Pops bubble. Yeah.
But I have to say, all three of those things have made such a huge difference. And I shared this actually in the interview with Kim, I think, or I've also been interviewed by him, but I've definitely shared it out loud that when I started this whole food thing, it sort of dovetailed with when I found Waldorf and found Simplicity Parenting. And so I cleaned out, I don't really even know which came first, but in cleaning out the stuff, it very much made space for the food. Because we really like, I just followed all the rules. I got rid of everything. And it was such a relief to me, because I'm a design, like my background is design. And so I'm a
Oh, yeah.
minimalist. I'm totally a minimalist by heart and by nature. But with three kids, like, that just gets challenged. Even,
Yeah.
even with drawings and creative stuff, it's like you can collect a lot of stuff with three children.
Kidding.
But really getting rid of a lot of that stuff, I feel like really. And getting and making the commitment not to do things like soccer every Saturday, and running around like a crazy person after school, just gave the space for being able to make dinner. And my story is that I had no interest in food or cooking before I figured this out in that moment. But it really gave me the space to even have room to learn, because I don't know that I would have, like, a week prior to all this. It was very lucky that it happened to me at the same moment.
Nice.
So I think those four pillars are just like life changing, even if we sort of take them on one thing at a time.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yep, exactly.
And people who are here a lot know that I don't ever shut up about rhythm, because I kind of think that's
Oh.
What makes or breaks a healthy,
Yep.
sticking with a healthy lifestyle.
It's life-changing and also life-saving. I feel like I shared this story, but if I may, really quick, we had a bit of a traumatic experience a few years ago. We were evacuated from that little homestead at 3 in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
I know, it was so scary, just due to a forest fire and this jet fuel spill right by the river by us. And so, at 3 in the morning, everyone has to leave because anyways, it was really frightening. There is like a heavy smell of gasoline in the air, and there's fires above us. It was
Oh my
just like,
gosh.
ah, it was so scary.
And it was a while ago, so you had little ones.
Kale, he was just about, anyways, this is when we made a decision to move to town so the kids can actually go to the Waldorf school, because before that I was homeschooling Edie using a Waldorf curriculum. And anyways, and it was so funny, not funny, but it happened 2 weeks before we were to move from there to our town. And I was shooken up. I couldn't eat for a week. I think I might have been a little bit like almost like post-traumatic stress disorder almost, because, and also I think maybe a little bit high from the fumes too, because I felt like it's true. Like I felt like high for like 3 days. I felt like really like, whoa, like I was having a dream. And I couldn't eat, which is not like me. I love eating. And so what helped me was we are staying on rhythm with our meals. We're gonna have our dinner at 5. We're gonna have our breakfast. We're gonna, whatever we're doing, we're having lunch at noon. So I don't know, it really brought the structure in our days that kind of grounded me and able to like help ground my children back into something that was familiar and nourishing and somewhere to move forward from. So yeah, no, it's huge for me too.
Yeah, it's huge. And I found that for me, it was life-saving as they were little, like exactly how you're explaining in that situation. And now, so I have my youngest is 7, but then I have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. So they're going into 7th and 5th, those two. And as they're getting more and more independent, I find that the whole rhythm helps me with them, like helps them be more independent. So like I base everything around our meals. So, instrument practice has to happen like before or after a meal. Showering happens before, like everything that they know to do. Instead of saying it has to happen by 8, I always say, after dinner we always do that. And then it's my job to, make sure the meal happens at the right time.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, really, it really is helpful. Very helpful in teaching them that those rhythms that they need.
It's a life skill too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah, it'll
yeah.
help
And I
you
find
grow.
it's funny. I have one. My daughter is very like she's the kind of kid who would walk around with a clipboard. She's 100% more organized than even I am. She
Oh my
always
God,
she's
that's
on
my
top of
daughter
everything.
too.
That's funny. But my
Yeah, she's
son,
exactly.
not so much. Like, he would leave his shoes at home and like get somewhere and realize that he didn't have his shoes. And so the rhythm part hugely is so important. It's like a lifesaver. It's such a good way to, I think in the normal world, they talk about executive functions a lot, and I think that rhythm hugely helps that. And those for people who might live more in their heads than in their bodies, it's just a great way to like ground you back into your body. So let's just talk for a minute about food because we haven't even gotten there, and I know that you care about it. So,
Very much so.
yeah. So tell us some of the things that you care about food. Let's dive into
Totally.
food a little bit.
Oh, okay. So I always kind of joke, the first time I got pregnant, I was given this superpower strength of having this bionic sense of smell. Like this is all of a sudden. It's like, oh my God, I could smell, that flower from miles and miles away. And also it really brought to my attention, my cravings were so, well, like most pregnant women was super heightened as well. And I had so much fun just really diving into my cravings. Cravings obviously for food, but also like you were saying, minimalism. I just didn't want much stuff around me. So that was really cool. I felt that I was really tapped into that mama bear wisdom and strengthening. But the whole food craving, I was just really blown away by the wisdom of it all. With both pregnancies, but I discovered this in my first, I went crazy eating corn on the cob. Like I could not get enough corn on the cob.
That's
It
funny.
was like I would eat, it was embarrassing really, because the compost bin was all like, yeah, corn. And yeah, I would go through like 6 ears a day. And it wasn't until later I discovered that apparently corn is actually quite high in folic acid,
Oh,
which is
interesting.
cool. Yeah, because I tried taking the prenatal vitamins, but they just made me super ill. So I just went off it and instead went with my cravings. I was craving lots of green leafy vegetables. So I just went with my cravings. And so I discovered that life is so much simpler if everyone in the family just eats whatever mom's craving. Know what I'm saying? Like,
This is good.
So, how I simplified meals and feeding the family is first of all, I really try not to do much of the snacking. I try to discourage snacks. Like we were saying, I'm a bit here. I gotta close the window. I got the movers that are moving in. People are moving into a half-built house next door, so it's like moving trucks and construction. It's like, oh, that's gotta suck.
Busy day.
Yes. We were discussing about the rhythm of our days. So I really like to stay on time with our meals. And if the kids are loading up on too many snacks, they're just not eating enough. And then, oh my God, you guys. And so if we do snacks, it is usually super clean, raw fruit, veggies, some kind of protein if we can swing it. And other than that, like we were saying, I am all over the seasons. So each change in season, I just usually sit. Sometimes my daughter joins me and we come up with meal ideas and I try to celebrate the season, but mostly I tap into what am I craving? Simplifying, it's all about identifying to the excess of choices that we make every day. It can literally be crazy making. So just leaning on, I have right now, for instance, in the summer, just like four meals we basically rotate. And again, it always comes back to whatever I'm craving. For some reason, I'm craving, and we just had it last night, so it's just kind of funny. Like shake and bake, like when I was growing up, shake and bake. But I just went on Pinterest and I looked up shake and bake, and I found a really easy recipe for drumstick with breaded, and you smother the drumsticks in mustard and mayonnaise and roll it in bread. And so we've been having that like once a week. Lots of fish, at least once a week. Lots of fresh fruit for dessert. And so just leaning on some mainstays so that it's like, oh, it's a hamburger night, let's make some lamb burgers for supper. Oh, there's something else I wanted to mention about that. But yeah, just basically working with the seasons. Oh yes, I remember. And leaning on traditions. I love nourishing traditions. So just making sure that we have some kind of fermented food every day. The kids drink for kombucha usually with dinner time because it's summer. For us, that's more of a summer drink. We have a sauerkraut or kimchi. Pickles with our burgers. So I'm always trying to like keep the gut being the source of a lot of our immunity, just making sure that's staying healthy and tended to. And I'm all about traditional foods. Like both my parents are from different countries, so I just kind of feel that I just it's just kind of neat to feel that we're passing on a lot of the traditional foods. And also there's a method to the madness that I want to embrace.
It's funny, actually the episode that is going to air right before yours, is with a woman named Catherine who just wrote a book called Grace Without God. And it's all about how in this world where there's so many people who don't have a religion, how these drawing from our history, family histories, she found that was like the way that families most successfully figured out how to come together. Because like when families totally separated from that idea of their family's past, because for whatever reason they were deciding not to move on with that religion of that family, that they needed to grab something. Like that was really grounding to kids, which is, goes back to that rhythm thing. And so it's funny that you're saying that just now, because she was just sharing that story last week. So let's see. What else do we need to talk about? And so in terms of your kids, have you had any pushback to them eating exactly as you want? I love
Well,
asking this question of people.
I think I totally jinx it because whenever I used to brag, oh, they'll eat whatever I put in front of them. And then just like this has been the winter of our discontent. It's been like the winter of picky eating. But you know what? It's getting better. Like, that mantra, this too shall pass. So I have to admit, it was for some reason the last year I was getting pushback, especially from my son. I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this. And then I kind of conceded a bit. I'm like, well, what would you like for supper? Like every time was hamburger, and I've given up just asking because he doesn't like anything. So I just consistency, this is what we're having, and you're not leaving the table. And I remember my daughter. She made when we moved, she found her best friend, and I think her best friend was vegetarian at the time, so then you could tell that she was trying that on for a while, and I was like, no, I will not have that. So I just pushed
Oh, how
them back
funny.
on
That's
her.
funny. We actually raise our family is pretty vegetarian.
Oh, good for you. Oh yeah, I'm such a meat eater. I don't know. I just got really hungry watching her not eat meat, so it's just kind
Interesting. Yeah. No, I'm vegan, and so I do
Oh,
feed the kids from
wow.
time to time meat, but if we're talking about feeding our kids how we eat, my
Exactly.
challenge has been how do I make them so they'll grow up to be good eaters? Because I
Yes.
definitely don't want to pass on what's definitely making me feel better right now, in a
Yeah.
way that will cause rebellion later on.
I know my dad, my oh my God, how's that for Freudian slip? Yikes. My husband, oh my God. You know what? I was trying to say dad, because that's how we refer to the house. He always says that to me. You're gonna give her an eating disorder. Just because. 'Cause I'm all like, no, I want you to have like three more. I can't remember why he said that, but it is something that is in my awareness. It's just, I know it's such a delicate dance, especially with girls, I find it's, but mostly I just really want them to learn to be in tune with their body and what their own body is suggesting. So I just encourage them to try a little bit and, like, how's that going for you? And I just express basically the shift I feel. Like, I notice that, like, I'll say out loud, even lately in the springtime, it's like, oh my God, spring is in the air. I'm craving like a giant salad. And then we'll start stirring up. And yeah, so definitely just, yeah, getting them to learn how to listen to their bodies for sure.
Yeah, and it's interesting within the context. That's an interesting thing because not everybody who's listening has read Simplicity Parenting or has their child at Waldorf. But one of the things that is so poignant to me from both those teachings is not to give your kids too much, not to give your kids any choices, really.
Yeah, that's true.
And listening to Kim talk about the why behind that, is always interesting to me because, he firmly believes and has done a lot of research around it. Waldorf schools have been doing it for many, many decades. That when you give too much choices, that actually kids don't know how to make them later. Whereas if we're not giving kids choices, they're actually, getting the tools to be able to make choices, when it's appropriate for them to make choices.
Yeah.
Which seems so anti-intuitive, and I think is very different than how a lot of people are thinking about education right now. So I don't know. I always think of that. The birthday party thing is another big one that Kim talks about that I always remember whenever I hear someone say that they're having a birthday party where they ask you not to bring gifts but to donate to a charity.
Oh, yeah.
Because he says that really fosters greediness later, which is so interesting to me,
Wow.
and because that really kids need to learn how to receive so that they can give, and we come from this school where that might mean a child brings like a little rock or a jewel, which is wonderful, but that's not what happens everywhere else. But so it's not like you have to receive a huge Nintendo set. It's like just that you're receiving some small flower or some gift from another child, and I like that. I love that
Yeah.
analogy.
Absolutely.
It maps so well to the food. Well, so thank you so much for this time. So I have one question that I ask everybody that I'm going to ask you in 1 minute, but first I would love you to tell everyone how to get in touch with you and how to see what you're up to.
Sure. You can find me at www.blissbeyondnaptime.com. And if you want to experience some of these coaching tools, I have a fun 10-day challenge called the 10-Day Mama Bliss Challenge. So you can find that if you plug in that website. And other than that, Mama Bliss Coaching School, if you're curious about becoming a coach this fall, you can apply. The applications are open now at www.mamablisscoachingschool.com.
Cool, very cool. So The last question that I ask everybody is
Yee,
tell
I'm
us about one meal. It could have happened last week, it could have happened, in your childhood that had a really big impact on you. And it could have been because of the food or the company or some major aha you had while sitting at the table, but just give us a glimpse into what one example of that might have been.
Oh my God, that's a good one. Oh, actually, oh man, quite recently we had a beautiful meal. Oh my God, I had unforgettable ones. Like I was mentioning, my mom's from Peru, so we went back there often when I was growing up, and they ate some interesting things down there. So I think that's why I became vegetarian for 7 years.
Oh, that's funny.
But oh man, we more recently we took for me an epic road trip with my family, just because I've been leaning on that excuse that my son gets car sick. That's why we couldn't be visiting family. We couldn't visit family for 4 years, so we
Okay.
finally and we visited my husband's mom, and his sister was out there. We haven't seen them like almost 4 years, and they made
Wow.
like the most beautiful meal, and it was so nourishing on so many levels. And just my kids were so blissed out and eating, and it just gave me a taste. Like we were talking, we're feeling we don't have extended family here where we live right now, so it was just so nourishing to the soul on so many levels, and that was really, really, really lovely.
I love that.
Yeah.
And that's amazing that you went 4 years with the
I
excuse of car
know.
sickness. I love
I
that.
know. I know. Part of it too. I just, after my son was born, I was such a homebody, so I just grabbed every
Yeah,
excuse in the book,
no,
sure.
I totally relate as I actually as we head off into a year of possibly being in a car for more than usual, 'cause we are pulling our kids out of school for a year and
Oh.
we're all going on this book tour with Mia together because
Oh my
I
God.
can't talk about family dinner in California and have them back here. So we are
Wow, that is cool. Oh,
off.
very cool. That'd be fun.
Yes. I luckily have two who can read in the car, and I actually hadn't thought until right now about the one who sometimes gets car
Oh, I can't do that. No, my
sick.
daughter does that too, and I get car sick on her behalf. I'm like, stop
Yes,
it. I can feel
exactly.
you reading. I can't see you, but
Exactly.
ugh. No.
Exactly. So thank you so much for your time today.
That was fun, Mia.
Yeah, it was very fun, and I love all the acronyms. Maybe we'll do something with them as this is going live. Maybe somebody's already clicked on something with one of the acronyms.
Yay.
So thank you, and I will look into that challenge too because that sounds great, and I love doing challenges.
Yay. And there's a
So
big
thanks.
prize at the end. So, yeah, be sure to check it out.
Oh, cool. And do you run it live or is it just whenever you want?
It used to be live, and
Yep.
now I've just changed it so you could do it whenever you want.
Cool. All right. So everyone listening can go do
Yay.
it today. Awesome.
Okay,
Well,
hun.
thanks again, and we'll be in touch soon. So bye, Miss
Awesome.
Busy Mamas. We'll see you on the next episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.